Can you say hello to everyone?
Hello, everyone.
She asked this week if she could speak with me, so I'm giving her a chance to speak. What would you like to tell everybody? You want to tell them about Jesus?
Yeah.
What do you want to tell them? Does Jesus love them?
Yeah.
Yes? You say, have a good morning.
Have a good morning.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. There you go, Bunkin. All right. You go with Daddy? She reminds me so much of what I feel like I'm learning lately about the kingdom. When she came up here and was with the flags and dumping water and writing all over my notes, and I was thinking of the verse that says, because we're going to talk about kingdom today, I was thinking about the verse that says, receive the kingdom like a child. And I've just been meditating on it, so this is like a commercial break, just because it's Emma. And I love her dearly, and she's a picture of the Lord to me. But I've been thinking about it. There's another interpretation about that verse. Most of us think of it as receiving the kingdom like a child, right? The way that it's written in context, we've traditionally assumed that it meant to receive as if you're a young child, right? Full of faith, all things are possible, right? And there's potential. Well, there's also a way that there's commentaries out there and interpretations that receive the kingdom like you would receive a child. Huh. I sit on that one for a second, right? It's messy. It's kind of like has no boundaries, right? It's all over the place, right? It has curiosity. It has just massive anticipation with it. Like, when you receive a child, you're receiving a bundle of energy. Amen? Isn't that a cool way to look at that? You know, because traditionally it's all like, oh, I got to get childlike, I got to get faith, you know, I got to drill down. But it does, in so many ways, the context of receiving a child, because my child is drug off, in context of it, it matches so much of the other scriptures about how we receive the kingdom, that in that interpretation, there's, I think, it goes to what the Lord says. You know, he says one thing, and you hear many, right? There's depth and layers to the word of God. And so we're going to talk a lot about the kingdom today. I'm a little bit stuck in that last song. Thank you, Allison, for bringing that in. Show us your glory. You know, just, we can't do this without his thoughts and his opinions. Ours really don't lead to much until they're renewed by his. That's where all the power and the strategy and the life, right, the creative life that comes from our tongue is then when we agree with the thoughts and opinions of God, because those are the ones that go continually forward, right? When he said, let there be light, it kept going. Can you imagine taking a thought that he says that are like the sands of the shore? Can you imagine grasping one of those sands and it forever expand inside you? You know, if you could just receive, I am lovely and fearfully made, and let that expand, would it not just eradicate some insecurities? Like literally when we say, show me your glory, he is doing a mighty work. You know what? Amen. Amen. Amen to that. So I was thinking in context, we're going to see if this works. This is going to try to keep me on track. Let's just see if it works. Oh, it works. Let's see if this happens. One of the things I was thinking about, we're going to tackle, you know, as Mitch said, you know, last couple of weeks on, you know, unpacking this idea of the mission and the body of believers being led by the Spirit to advance the kingdom. And I really want to tackle kingdom. I want to tackle this. This is a passion for me. And one of the things I want to tell you is a story that radically has been working itself out in me. It was a number of years ago, but I was really kind of struggling with just the journey a little bit, right? The journey that people are on and that I'm on. And I was just really putting myself before the Lord and just like, oh God, you know, I just want to totally please you, and I want to be right, and I want to be righteous and all that kind of thing. And I went into a vision, and that vision was, I was standing in a stadium, and it was tens of thousands of people in this stadium. And I was standing like in the way back, you know, when you have the seats, the nosebleed seats, that's kind of where I was in this vision. And I was looking down, I couldn't hear anything, but the power of what I was seeing was overwhelming. It was tens of thousands of people just all full on, just raising their hands, and you could see they were singing just not only with their voices, but just with their body, and they were all in it. And I saw this guy on the center of the stage, and I mean, he was just embodying this, what looked like worship to me, right? Just full, intense. I don't know if I'm doing something with the mic.
Just keep it there.
Keep it there. That, he says that to a woman who wears earrings. Just keep it there. So this, in this vision, it was like embodied. I'm gonna see if I can fix this so it doesn't do that to you guys again. There we go. It embodied this guy just totally full on. If you can just imagine with me like a concert, just a guy just going completely at it. And suddenly my ears popped and the most profane, vile, horrific things were coming out of this man's mouth. And everybody was just engaged in it. And I was a bit horrified in the vision. And Jesus walked up next to me and he said, "Is the Father proud of him?" Trick question. This is a parable. Jesus is asking me a question. What is the answer, right? I don't know if you've ever experienced Jesus in that way. Sometimes, like, I know there's more here. And so I just stood quietly and I said, he can't be possibly pleasing the Father right now. And Jesus said to me, "I didn't ask you if he was pleasing. I asked you if the Father was proud. He's living every fiber of his being the way he was created before the foundations of the earth. He's just giving glory to the wrong kingdom." Okay. Had a lot of judgment there, God. See, he was created to lead. He was a priest of priests, if I could put it that way, in this vision, ushering people in to a holy place. But without the Spirit of the Lord, he was leading them to a very unholy place. But the Lord looked upon him, God looked upon him with pride, because he wasn't lukewarm, he was either hot or he was cold. See, there's kingdom principles that when we press into them will totally mess our minds up. And sometimes we don't want to be that uncomfortable. Honestly, we don't want to have that much responsibility, right? To deal with some of the things in the kingdom. And that's the reason why, honestly, we kind of get apathetic. We stay in disappointment or disillusioned, and we get apathetic there because we don't really understand the kingdom and even how to press in and take hold of his glory, his thoughts and opinions. So today I want to start us on a journey of how do you get his perspective, right? I know right now that there's some of you in this room that is biblically trying to figure out, was she correct in her vision? Good. Good. Go find it. Go find it. Because I'm convinced. Do you want to be convinced of the revelatory nature of who God is? Not a trick question. You can say yes. It may be a little uncomfortable in the process, right? So we're going to go after advancing the kingdom. Perspective. This is one of the verses that helps me feel a little bit more comfortable about some of my experiences. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. That's deep right there. I don't even have to really finish the rest of it, right? He uses the foolish things. So if he uses the foolish things, we've got to press into this idea of understanding the kingdom. Understanding God is going to take us to see and hear differently. We have to choose to engage him, not in our flesh, but by his spirit. Would we agree to that? So a lot of it is we're struggling because we're struggling in our flesh not to really understand what he's doing. So what I want to tackle is a body of believers led by the Holy Spirit to advance the kingdom of God in the NRV and beyond. See, I'm pretty passionate about the kingdom, and I am like, I'm hungry to understand this thing that he's commissioned me to go do, right? He said, go disciple nations. Literally, go disciple people. To what? His teachings. Well, what did he teach? How did he do that? How did he live those things? See, we know the command, and then we receive the command in our lives, and then what happens? It gets weighty. And condemnation can come because we don't know how to live it out sometimes. And so there's this thing in us, this desire in us that we have to figure out how to cultivate and do, which is to seek. How do we seek out the kingdom of God first? So I am hungry for the kingdom of God. I am, and one thing I want to tell you is I really believe that it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like, we got to buckle in and realize that we are on a marathon of understanding the kingdom of God, not a sprint. See, we enter in a lot of times, I think you guys can agree, our culture, right? We talk about this all the time. Our culture is a very, very fast-paced, immediate, it's very, very minimalistic, and what minimalistic is, it's about me, it's about pleasure, and it has to be easy. We've become a minimalistic culture. And we demand that on something that is not minimalistic. Do you get what I'm saying? If we have a filter that says, it's about me, it's got to be pleasurable, and it has to be easy, we take that culture into our context of trying to understand the kingdom, it's going to be hindered. So this is a marathon of us stepping into understanding the kingdom and letting it be revealed to us. Right? So I want to dive into what principles are and understanding the kingdom. So there's a couple things in this phrase that we've got to go after. We've got to go after the word advance, and we've got to go after kingdom. Okay, to really understand, if we're going to be a body of believers led by the Spirit to advance, we should probably know what we're advancing and then how advance looks. With me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, I didn't want to be alone in that one. Otherwise, it's going to be a very long morning. So, principles. Principles, a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or a chain of reasoning. So when you think about kingdom principles, the Word of God has full of kingdom principles. It's not just statements that we kind of make. So like a kingdom principle example that we all know and the world even knows is that if you sow, you reap. Right? Basic foundation of a farming culture is you sow, you shall reap. Economy comes from it. Community is a part of it. There's a lot of things according to that principle. So you guys tell me, if we planted corn, do I get to go expect green beans? No. Do I get to plant a seed of an apple and go get to pick oranges? No. Yet, I want you to stop, pause with me, and go, how many times do I sow into my life the world but expect God to deliver his kingdom.
Come on, come on.
That's not his fault. He taught us this principle.
He made a promise.
Does that make sense? That's not on him. That's on us. So another one is loss is gain. Ooh, we don't like this one. Whoop, 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 back up, back up, back up. Loss is gain. This is one of the most phenomenal principles, right? Like something has to die to have life. But when life comes back, what is it according to the kingdom? It's multiplied. Because he gave us the key to multiplication. But loss is uncomfortable, man. Been there. Probably there in areas of my heart. But again, if we embrace the kingdom and we want to embrace it, we've got to embrace the principles. We've got to understand our belief system. Father of lies versus father of light. This is probably one of my favorite ones when it comes to kingdom principles that has really helped me. And that is the enemy is the father of lies. And God is the father of, okay, father of lies, father of light. Can a lie exist without a truth? That's the essence of a lie. It's a perversion of a truth. See, the enemy can't create, he can only pervert. And if he can only pervert, that means when there's a lie, guess what's existing? A truth. That's why lies and discouragement are so sticky. Because the enemy doesn't have any desire to feed you lies that aren't rooted in you, truth that's rooted in you. See, he gets to see an imprint on Anne Marie. And he sees that imprint, and he's like, now that's a powerful imprint. So then he comes along, right, because he's the what? Wolf in sheep's clothing. And he takes the truth and he perverts it. But it sticks because it's so close to something he put in you in the foundations of the earth. That's why lies are sticky. And they're hard to get rid of. But guess what he told us to do? Show us your glory, God. Okay, that's your thought of me? That's your thought of me. Well, then why am I believing this sticky thing? You with me?
Yeah.
Is that not a cool one?
Yeah.
Do you know how many things you can look around in your life and go, this is discouraging. This is like, I keep hearing this lie, I'm not enough. I keep hearing this lie, I'm going to fail. I keep hearing this lie that says I'm never going to get out of debt. I keep hearing this lie that says healing isn't possible. I keep hearing, we recognize them as lies, but do we recognize the truth is in our midst? The lie can't be there without the truth. Amen. Amen. So principles, that's what we got to go after. We got to start understanding the principles. See, one of the things about the thing that I have this way that it comes to my mind, and I'm sharing it with you, but I feel like we have to have like the decoder ring. Did you guys ever get a decoder ring in a Cracker Jack box, right? So the idea is being able to have a tool to be able to see the code, the truth that's there. And so really trying to understand the kingdom code, right? Decoding it, getting all this filters, all these things that are on us to be able to see clearly what the kingdom is. Now, I want to give you the context of he's given us the keys of the kingdom. So pretend you're at the park. And while you're at the park, you see a ring of keys. I mean, just lined with keys. Now, you've been given a set of keys. You've found a set of keys. And you decide you're going to find which one is the house key that's on this ring. Okay, first of all, that's a big thing to chew off, right? It's a whole set of rings. How do you know which one is which? Right? But you're going to go, and so what do you start doing? You start just walking around the neighborhood, putting in the key, trying to put it in a door, figuring, oh, it's got to be somebody in this neighborhood. And you just start putting a key in everywhere you're going. Now, statistically says that if we each did this, someone would find it at the third house, someone would find it at the fifth house, someone would find it at the 110th house. See, statistically, you don't know when that key's going to work. Now, wouldn't it be a little bit more smart to get some strategy about how to figure out where the key goes? You with me? Because I think as believers, we rock around with this huge set of keys to the kingdom, and we're randomly putting it in doors. And then we're like, wait a minute, Joe got it in on the third door. Why can't I get it in on the third door? Do you get what I'm saying, guys? Because what we're doing is we're doing it haphazardly instead of leaning in to understand the principles that God's given us to live by. So our lives become a little bit haphazard in the kingdom. And so what we want to do is we want to lean in and begin to understand the principles so that we can get kingdom results. Right? You guys have heard me say that before. Don't expect kingdom results without kingdom principles. Don't sow apples and expect oranges. Right? So keys to the kingdom. The other thing is we've got to be treasure hunters. It's a matter of God to hide. It's the nature of God to hide a matter. It is the glory of kings to seek it out. We've got to step into seeking. See, God hides it because it's valuable. He does not want us to haphazardly fall on something and then pick up the nature that we can walk around haphazardly. That would give an injustice. Do you feel that? See, God is very just. He does not want us to attach to something that isn't pure, right, holy, good. So we've got to seek matters out. We've got to be treasure hunters. And the third thing is, what the world needs now. Sweet love. Right?
Come on.
Let it stick. Rest of the day, right there. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love. Right? I just got chills. The world needs God. Now, here's something that happened in David and I's relationship. I've said this publicly a few times, so no, I'm not uncovering my husband or our relationship. We were going through something, and some friends of ours were going through some stuff too, and I was just before the Lord, and I was like, this is hard, God. This is just uncomfortable. This is hard. And he said to me, he's like, Leanne, I love you. And I want you to know my kindness. I don't want you to attach to something that isn't pure. So let me expose what I need to expose in your relationship so that it becomes pure and you can trust it. Oh. The Lord wants it to be pure what the world gets. They don't need another version of something. They need purity. They need to be able to trust it. So it's up to us. You know, like in prayer this morning, it was incredible. Ron had gotten just a prayer, something on his heart about the verse that says in Revelation, which it's funny to me because eventually, I'm going to unpack a few things over several different Sundays about the kingdom and different things. But one of them is in the throne room, right? It talks about gold being so transparent it looks like glass. Why? Because when you refine gold and you pressure it down to the finest with no impurities, it's transparent. The streets of gold are transparent. See, he asks for us to be transparent in relationship. He's not worried about putting us through fire because then it purifies us and then we can begin to trust the God inside of each of us. Isn't that good? That's the kindness of the Lord. To purify us. So when the heat is on, we need to be rejoicing. Amen? I know it's another song. Did it go through your head? When the heat is on. Let's go back to what the world needs now. Let's go back to that one. Amen? All right. What the world needs now. Let him purify us. Let him take us there. Kingdom. Guys, why is it important to define three things that hinder us? We've got expectations, judgments, and pitfalls. I'm going to probably, I don't want to sit on these too long, but I want to sit them as long as the Holy Spirit wants to sit on them. So expectations. Expectations. One of the things that happens with us not understanding the principles of the kingdom is we go in with a context of presumed assumptions of how it's going to manifest. Okay? We go in thinking, hey, you know, it should manifest like this. If God's a healer and he heals all the time, then this situation he should heal. Okay? There's a little bit of a problem there. Because we made a presumption on what he's manifesting in the moment. I'm not saying he won't do it tomorrow, or the day after that, or the day after that. But do you know where he is in the moment? Okay? So we go in with presumptions. So the converse to that is, God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Okay? So we got to lay down some of our expectations. What's another one? Entitlement. A demand on Jesus to come versus the kingdom is already established. You're going to hear me say this a couple times today. God, we cannot go build the kingdom. It's already built. We get to show it off. There's a difference. Okay? We can't go build the kingdom of God in the earth. The kingdom of God is already established. We are showing it off. Okay? So what happens here is we think we get to come in and put our foot down and go, kingdom of God, be established. How do you know kingdom of God is right there? Do you get what I'm saying? Again, we have to understand principles. We have expectations. Carrying the wrong burden versus his yoke is light. This is one thing that he's really spoken to me recently, is I did not ask you to carry the burden of saving the world, Leanne. I put that on Jesus. My yoke is light. We're going to talk about what his yoke is, right, here in a few minutes. But that's a good way to go, like, what am I walking in? If I'm heavy laden by the world, then I'm counter to a kingdom principle which says his yoke is light. Now, I'm not saying that we don't grieve, because grieving is very kingdom. Okay? You yearn, you cry, you have groans for what is yet to come. Right? Glory and glory. I won't rest there too long. So we got to let go of our expectations. We got to let go of judgments. I'm not going to sit here too long, but I think we all know. So I'll just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do on this one. Okay? Discernment that stops at opinion. Anyone? Anyone? You don't have to join me. Don't raise your hand. Discernment that stops at opinion instead of discernment that leans into strategy. See, we were given to discernment to decide what was evil and good, right? But he didn't do that so we could have an opinion about evil and good. He told us so that we could, what? Figure out what he's doing about it. Isn't that good? Shuck that one off, right? Get that weight off of us. All right, distinguish fruit out of self-protection versus distinguishing to know the season and the seed. Because, guys, he told us don't judge, right? Don't judge lest you be judged. But then he goes around and says, hey, you can know the fruit based on, you know, you can know the condition of the tree based on the fruit. You're like, are you telling me to judge or not judge? What do you think, God? Come on, talk to me here. Am I not supposed to discern? Am I not supposed to figure this out? Come on. Right? Now, the culture that we're in is full of deception. Thick deception. It's dark. Right? Discernment's easy on this one, guys. Evil. We got that one, right? So now what do we need to do? Lean in. Lean in for strategy. We don't have to call evil for evil anymore. It's evil. Come on. That was good, guys. Strategy. Are we distinguishing it out of self-protection? I'm tired of being victimized. I'm tired of betrayal. I'm tired of being deceived. So I'm gonna walk at arm's length away, and I'm gonna judge fruit. Or am I judging the fruit to go, where's that fruit coming from? Like, where's that tree rooted in? Am I eating good fruit here? Or am I demanding fruit out of season? Hello, America. You can have any fruit or vegetable any time of the year. Right? That was funny, and that was being me facetious. You guys were like, all too serious about that one. I'm not cursing America. I love America. Think about it. Our culture says you can demand fruit out of season. So then we turn around and we go, where's the fruit, Mitch? I want fruit. You ain't giving it to me. Right? Out of self-protection, instead of understanding the season and what fruit to expect. Okay? Placing standards on results versus Christ as a standard. I'll let that one just sit with you. We're not going to go too deep into that one. Last one is pitfalls. Trying to mimic earthly structure. So when we're talking about kingdom, what is kingdom? We've got to let go of our pitfalls, which is mimicking. We want it to mimic what we understand versus trying to understand it and then live accordingly to it, okay? Using worldly mindsets to get kingdom results, which is generally religion. And then kingdom come means to be established on earth. Kingdom come, when we pray, kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, is not establishment. It's revealing. It's very different. Okay? And what does it say? This is powerful. What does it say? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. Anyone ever catch that? Anyone ever catch that? Body of Christ divided. Which kingdom causes fights? Huh. I'll let you sit on that one. My servants would have been fighting, and then I might not have been delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world. Later on, we'll find in Luke that it says that the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, is where it resides. So, how about before we dive in any further, I'm so not on time. How about before we dive any further, if you guys could just do something in your seats really quick with me. Put your hands out, and let's get rid of expectations, judgments, and pitfalls. Agreed? Okay? So simply, God, we come before you, and we repent. We repent that we picked up our dead man out of fear, out of insecurity, out of seeing the darkness that is all around us, and we picked up tools of the enemy. We picked up things to self-protect. We picked up things to be able to try to understand because we're uncomfortable. We've picked up religion because it's so pervasive. We picked up these things, and we want them no more. We want them no more. We want our eyes to see and our ears to hear. We ask today that you would cleanse us of these things, of the places that we've stepped into us that has hindered us from seeing what was right before us. So, Lord, we ask this in the name of your Son who shed his blood. May his blood not be in vain today, but have full glory as we release judgments, expectations, and pitfalls about your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. There, now, for the joy, the kingdom. Before we go into this, the body of believers that are led by the Spirit, which I'm sure over weeks we'll dig into. But from my perspective, you know, the body of believers, why are we doing this? We're doing it for the joy set before us of preparing the bride, right? She is going to be presented, the bride of Christ is going to be presented to Jesus. He went away to prepare a place for us, his bride. Now, what are we supposed to be doing? Preparing us. We're supposed to be preparing for the coming of the Lord. Our cry should be, come, 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 right? And as we're saying, come, Jesus, come to this wedding, it's been a little while, right? It's been a little while. We're aching. We're ready for you to come. And we look around doing that. What do we need to do? We're like, oh, all of the bride isn't here. Where is she? Let's bring her in. Let's get her healed up. Oh, the bride isn't healed, right? She's got this big gaping wound. Let's figure out how to heal that. See, that's why he's tearing. So maybe we shouldn't leave the bride of Christ dismembered. I have another phrase, but I feel like I shouldn't say it out loud. Out there giving herself away like a harlot. There we go. I used scripture to say it. Right? She's become like a harlot. We got to give her back her worth. We've got to let her see how adorned and beautiful she is for the joy of preparing the bride. See, one of the things that I love about the gifts, Jesus gave gifts to his bride before he returns. And these gifts are evangelism, pastor, teaching, prophetic, and apostolic. This is something that just sitting with the Lord, this is what I wrote down. See, we're helping her see who she is. She's out there. Some of her, she doesn't know who she is. We're helping her see who she is, caring for her as she lets the world go. Because that's a process. Anybody had that one? It's a process. It's a journey. Instructing her in how to take hold of her inheritance, reminding her of her righteousness and destiny, and establishing and maturing her in truth. For the joy set before us. See, that's the yoke that we're carrying. Is the yoke of preparing a bride. That's an incredible day, right? Just everyone gets excited about it, right? The flowers, the food, the feast that's coming, the music. That's the yoke that we're doing. We look at the brokenness of the body of Christ. It becomes a joy to say, hey, how can I walk with you?
Come on.
How can I come alongside you? How can I let you know who you are? Whoops. There we go. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, the work, the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ has this internal thing going on. We're preparing the bride. Boop, 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 boop. We're preparing. We're getting everything ready, right? Well, then, how do we then go out into the world? We go out into the world as ambassadors. Okay? See, do you see the different context? Right? We are preparing the bride of Christ. We're letting her know who she is and getting her ready for the day and equipping and making her strong. And to the world, we're an ambassador. We no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. That would be really hard to look at a lot of politicians today and be okay with that phrase. Would you not agree? It is hard to see some people the way Christ sees them and what he paid for. But he paid for it. Now, he didn't pay for the evil at work, right? He paid for the person that is partnering with the evil that's at work. Let our enemy be our enemy. Right? We have to let the enemy be the enemy. We don't make people our enemy. We have to be careful with that. Because we're then naming something that God named as good, as evil. And we will be before his throne with that one. Is that a little serious? But that's how we get the kingdom to flourish, guys, is when we engage into truth the way the truth was spoken. It's good, right? We're ambassadors. We no longer regard according to the flesh, and we begin to do this thing of reconciling. So one of the things I want to talk about is ministers of reconciliation. One of the things with ministers of reconciliation is we're reducing hostility. These are the elements of reconciliation. So reducing hostility, you are forgiveness of debts with interest, according to the kingdom. That doesn't happen in the world, but in the kingdom, you forgive debts with interest, meaning you get back multitudes, right? He repays in multitudes. And make compatible, which is the one of the most beautiful versions of that, is two become one, right? That's a beautiful image out there of two becoming one, making two things that are incompatible, compatible. Those of you who are married can give me an amen. Those of you waiting to be doing it, start praying now, because it's a beautiful thing to enter into. You'll lose so much of your selfishness. You will, right? I had a wonderfully single life until 41, and I became very selfish in the process. So a doorway for others is to see the Father. We've got to remember that we're a doorway. Christ is in us, right? And Christ is now preparing a place for us. He is in us. So what was he to the earth, right? He draws all men unto the Father. He was literally the doorway to the Father. That is who we are. Lastly, intercession and priesthood. We're ambassadors. So the kingdom is already established. We've gotten that one figured out, right? We're going to be busy about getting the bride ready to spend eternity in this kingdom, okay? For the world, we're going to be an ambassador. We're going to be a sign that says, you really want to join this wedding. This is a good one. You want to come on in. So now, how do we do this? How do we advance? How do we do this? I would suggest to you that to advance, we must first follow. Right? Follow the likeness of the Lord. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25 talks about how Christ is our example of how to do this. So we're going to go in. It says, our prayer is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So literally, your kingdom come and manifest, because the kingdom of God is in our midst, in us. The kingdom of God is at hand, right? He repented it, told everyone, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's in our midst. We carry it. We're the ones who carry it, right? You guys have heard me say this before. The greatest encounter anyone can ever have, not a worship, not someone speaking, all of that. The greatest encounter anyone can have is with another person, because they're made in his image and they carry his presence. Come on. That's the greatest encounter. You want to know if the gospel's relational? He created us in his image and then he put his spirit on us. It's the greatest encounter you can have with God. So following his likeness, I'm going to go through these a little bit. Kingdom principles, signs and wonders. So one of the things that Jesus walked in is signs and wonders. Some of them called him a prophet because of this, right? He walked in signs and wonders, but he said something very clearly. He said, signs and wonders follow those who believe. And then we jump to the next part when he gave examples. But hear me. The kingdom principle is signs and wonders follow your beliefs. He just gave you an example of what some of your beliefs could possibly do in the earth. But the principle is where I want you to sit. Sit with me for a second. I can tell you what you're believing by the signs and wonders that follow you. See, this isn't production. This isn't producing signs and wonders. This is what? Believing, and signs and wonders follow your belief. We're not producing encounters and activity of God, right? That's trying to establish the kingdom of God on earth. We're believing what he has told us, and then what starts happening? The glory starts getting manifested. Clouds start appearing. Rain starts falling. Teeth turn to gold. What other amazing things does he do? Body parts start growing out, right? People get out of their wheelchairs. Not because we produced something, but because we believed something.
Come on.
Amen? Another one, parable lifestyle. Some say that he was a teacher. Why? He told a lot of parables, right? Trying to get us to think, dig in, dig deeper, get eyes to see, ears to hear. See, it's not about performance of what you're doing. It's about what you're beholding. You become what you behold. What you play with, what you look at, what you put your attention to is what will manifest. There's masses of teaching that Jesus had that he said that constantly. You're looking there. You don't see who's before you. I was with you the whole time, and you didn't see me. Why? Because we were trying to perform our way into the kingdom. We were trying to perform our way to the manifestations of God. So we've got to let go of performance and take up the principle of beholding. And then abiding. So Peter came in and said, you're the Son of God. You know, he said, okay, this didn't come to you alone, Peter. Right? He got a little help on this one. And we all do, because this idea of abiding, relationship, being woven together, being so close to one another that you've got to stay connected to the branch, like all of them, like, I only do what my Father's doing. All of those scriptures about relationship, not passivity of God, come do something. I only do what my Father's doing. How could Jesus say that? Because he was with his Father. You and I are seated at the right hand of the Father. Our place in the Spirit is in a heavenly place. We, at any given moment, can literally look into our lives and the lives of people around us and our world around us from the perspective of heaven. We have that kind of abiding relationship at our hand. From that place, we start to build relationship. And we begin to cultivate this relationship. So advanced. Guys, advanced means to move forward in a purposeful way. We're not advancing the kingdom. We're moving forward in a purposeful way. Okay? So if you read it in this way, don't get too upset with me, anybody with kind of pushing this out to you. I'm trying to get a concept out, right? Body of believers led by the Spirit, moving forward in a purposeful way in the NRV and beyond.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah?
Intentionality, yes.
How? We're moving from what is already established. Isn't this incredible? You and I don't have to think it up. We don't have to think it up. We don't have to figure it out. It's already established. We got to go seek it out. But we don't have to go figure it out. That's pretty cool. That takes a lot of weight off, doesn't it? Right? Move towards relationship. So when we're moving in a purposeful way, we're moving from what is already established, and we're going to go after that. In the weeks to come, I'm going to talk about what is the kingdom, what's the infrastructure of the kingdom, what's the culture of the kingdom, what's the economy of the kingdom, what's the government of the kingdom. We can learn a lot about the kingdom. There's a lot in there of really good, juicy, cool stuff that we're going to go after. But the principle of it is like a gong, does he say, if you prophesy without love? If you don't move towards relationship, it's nullified. Okay? It is a relational covenant that we've been given, not a transaction. Moving grace and mercy. This is a big one. I know grace. I don't know mercy very well. I love grace. Operational power of God to do things that you can't do in yourself. Man, I haven't been taught since I was a kid. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Dig in. God is good. All things are possible. Go for it. Praise God. Don't know mercy. Don't have any mercy for myself. Do you know he sits on a mercy seat? He gives grace. He gives you what you need. And he says, come to the throne of grace in your time of need. Boldly come. What seat is he sitting on? It's a throne of grace sitting with a seat of mercy. You're going to get what you need, but you got to receive it because you're broken. You're weak. You don't have it all figured out. But there's mercy. Amen? It's grace and mercy. We move in grace and mercy with each other. We move in grace and mercy with each other. Yeah? So advancing the kingdom. I did pretty good, Mitch. It's 11:59. Advancing into the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and all, right, his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, one of the things that I want to step into in the next few minutes, it's 12. I'm asking for maybe like 5 more minutes of our time this morning. And for those of you that are online, just to be able to kind of soak, what we're going to do is I'm going to play a song. And I really felt like the response that I wanted to help us move into corporately is that we would literally step into the weights of trying to move forward. We would step into this his presence and let the weights just fall off of us. Right? One of the lines you can see on the back of the notes that you have it. I'm not sure how it is online. But one of the this is a Corey Ashby's song, Crashing In. I don't know if it's up here. Oh, Brennan, did you get it up there for me? Yeah, thank you. Oh, it's so small. I don't know if I can read it. Anyway, I'll read it from here. It says, I believe in a God who loves me well. Yeah, I'm reading it from there. Yep, cool. I believe in God who loves me well. He loves me better than I can love myself. I can't seem to make sense of grace, and I feel unworthy of your love most days, yet you welcome me into your holy place. See, some of this is our filters, our perceptions, our expectations are keeping us from experiencing where he's invited us into. And I love this line. It says, the weight of the world falls off my shoulders as the weight of your love comes crashing in. So what I would like to do for a few minutes, hey, kiddos, come on in. This is a perfect time to be in here. We're going to play it, and what I would like to do is just do a posture, and I'm going to pray real quick before we go into it. And then, Allison, maybe you can come up and be ready to kind of play after the song's done, if that's cool. And then I think the first responders, I'm going to have you come up in a little bit. When the song kind of goes towards an end, I'm going to have you guys come up in a few minutes. But what I would like us to do is I would just like us to rest in his presence. This was a lot this morning, yeah? A shift, so to speak. A shift in our thinking towards about what the kingdom is. But one of the things we don't want to do is we don't want to leave the weight of this culture, of this season our culture is in. We don't want that weight on us as we understand what the season and the fruit is of the kingdom. We don't want to miss what God is doing and how he's doing it in our midst because we've got this weight on us. So I would love for us as a body just to get it off, let his love crash in, and then we can walk in the next days and the next weeks into really seeing the kingdom unfold before us. Amen? All right, so we'll play this song. You guys can just sit in a posture of, I really feel like just giving the Lord space. Give him some space.